This is a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat with guest Ray Benson of Asleep at the Wheel. I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond. For the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more, point your browser to nosurfmusic.com. This is another edition of No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chats. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammett. And I'm joined today by our co-writer, Alan Pendergrass, and a man who needs no introduction, but since we're on audio, I'll let him introduce himself from Asleep at the Wheel. Go ahead and say hi.
Howdy, everybody.
All right. That is the great Ray Benson.
Whoa, I got a great one. I'll take that.
You did. You are, I think, one of the classic guys who has really done a lot for Americana music over a long period of time, and especially, of course, for Western Swing, which Al and I are both big fans of. So we wanted to grab this opportunity while you're here in Kent, Ohio, and just hear a little bit about what's going on and talk to you a bit. How long are you on the road for right now?
Well, we're on the road. We stay on the road. This
right.
trip, you know, we'll pop back and forth. One of the nice things about Austin, Texas, besides it's a great town, is it is in the middle, so we can go West Coast, Upper Midwest, East Coast. So it's really neat. So we're on the road all the time. Sometimes it's around, like, Oklahoma, and so we get to go home Monday and Tuesday. Sometimes this week we go out for a week, and then we'll go home for one day.
Okay. And about how many dates a year are you doing
this? About 100 and... Well, including our play, because we have this theater production, we do about 130.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a very busy schedule, but we're glad to see you out here.
Yeah, it is. It's a busy schedule.
One thing I want to ask you is, you guys are based in Austin, and you play sort of a very Texas style of music, but it does have fans, you know, all over the country,
oh, yeah.
Which is why it's great to see you guys up here. What kind of reception do you usually get, you know, when you're touring around in the north here in places where this isn't,
oh,
you know,
no,
that
we
music?
Play, no, we play all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people like this music no matter what. Hell, I'm from Pennsylvania originally,
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, you know, it's, you know, the myth of a geographical imperative is a great myth, you know, that you have to live in a certain place to love a certain kind of music. And I've often said it's what's in your heart and in your ability, you know. So, yeah, this trip, you know, we'll go up through Maine, through New England, through obviously through the Southwest, Portland, Seattle. They like this music all over the place. I think people today are, as opposed to 40 years ago, have rediscovered Western Swing in a bigger way, and it's all over the country.
Okay. Well, that actually does lead me into one question I did want to ask you, because you're originally from Philadelphia, correct?
Yeah, the suburbs, but yeah.
Okay. Well, how did you originally discover this kind of music, and what did you listen to when you were growing up and starting out as a musician, and how did that lead together?
Well, I played music from the time I was 6 years old, but I played professionally the time I was 11, folk music. Then I learned played square dance music, had a square dance every Saturday night, you know. Played rock and roll, played in the big band, played tuba in the marching band. I loved music. And I discovered Western Swing when I was 17 and real hardcore country music, which has so many tentacles into Western Swing, like Hank Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Without Western Swing, there wouldn't have been electric guitars in hillbilly music. It wouldn't have been a lot of this stuff, you know. So, anyway, having a love for jazz, blues, rock and roll, country music, fiddle music, especially fiddle music, Western Swing had it all, you know. So I discovered that. But we still, Asleep at the Wheel was started as a roots country Americana band. And, you know, a lot of people either ignore or don't realize it. We did Cajun music back in the 70s, and, you know, we did a bunch of Cajun stuff. We did jump blues, you know, Louis Jordan, Choo Choo Boogie, all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. And then towards the 90s, we gravitated to more of a Western Swing. But again, Western Swing is just an instrumentation. Fiddle, steel guitars, etc. And you can play any music you want. That's basically, I think, the rule.
Right.
There's classic Western Swing, which is, you know, Faded Love, San Antonio Rose, you know, Roly Poly, etc. And then, you know, Choo Choo Boogie that we do. We Yellow Color recorded it, but it's a Louis Jordan tune. And you interchange tunes and just do them with that instrumentation.
Okay. Well, given then that, like you said, you know, you really can pretty much choose any song and do it in your band's format, how do you decide, you know, what's going to be on the next record or what you're going to do live, or, you know, what's the process for choosing your music in general?
There's no process.
That's fair enough.
You know, you hear something you like and you do it, it's time to go to a record. Okay, either I write stuff or we'll find old stuff. I got stacks of old 78 records. You know, it's sort of like now that the Sleep the Wheels format is pretty clear, you know, it's we just plug stuff in, it seems, you know. We got 41 years of experience and songs to live with, so, you know, it's, you know, it's, we got a lot of different ways to do a lot of different songs.
Gotcha. And, one thing about the band is, you know, you do tend to do sort of a lot of past repertoire stuff and all that, but you have a very interesting project that's been out for a couple years now that you just mentioned, which is the stage show, the Ride with Bob concept, which of course, you know, deals with you talking with the spirit of the great Bob Wills. How did you come up with that, and why was that something that you wanted to do?
Well, it was Bob Wills' 100th birthday anniversary, and we had done two tribute albums, and we were known as a Bob Wills revival band, and we said, we have to do something for his 100th birthday. This only happens once. And so we started to do another album. In fact, that's where the cut of Us with the Blind Boys Alabama was. The concept was, and maybe I should do it too someday, although I don't think, the concept was to get intersection of Western swing and Afro-American musicians. That would have been really fun. So we started that, and then I read, God, I can't get this done in a year. It takes a long time to get that many people. And I said, and I've done two records already. Let's do a play. And so I just started fishing around for collaborators and wound up with a lady named Ann Rapp, who is a screenwriter and has written for Robert Altman, that wrote Cookie's Fortune and a number of other films. And she grew up in West Texas and knows the story and loved the band, etc. So she and I sat down and wrote a play. The premise of the play is the conversation I never had with Bob Wills, and that idea came from Sarah Bird, who's another writer who didn't write the play, but we were brainstorming one night, and she asked me about how I'd met, had I ever met Bob Wills, and what did we talk about? I said, well, yeah, I met Bob Wills, but he was very sick and we didn't get to talk. She said, why? He said, well, we met him in his, what was to be his last recording session, and they took him back to his hotel room, said we could talk to him the next day, and he had a stroke and went to a coma and died 2 years later. So I met him, and every time Sarah says, well, there's your play, it's the conversation you never have with Bob Wills, and that's how it got going.
Gotcha. And had you ever done any writing like that before? Any theater? Nothing?
Well, I've acted, but...
Okay.
You know, where not what? Theater, but, you know...
You've made some movie appearances and
some
stuff
movie
like
stuff
that.
In high school I was in a play, but no, we knew nothing, and boy, did we learn.
Well, it turned out to be quite engaging, I have to say. I haven't seen the stage show, but, you know, I've heard the
oh, it's fantastic, and Jason Roberts plays the part of Bob Wills, and it just does a masterful job, and... I mean, it's 24 actors, dancers, musicians, sets, costumes, everything. It's a pain in the neck to do, but very well worth it. We'll be in Oklahoma in October and in Dallas, Richardson, which is North Dallas, in the last week of December.
Okay. And you guys have been around for 40 years now.
41 years.
41.
Yeah, 41.
I do want to add that extra one, but, you know. You've had an incredible career in a lot of ways. You know, you've got more than 20 albums now. I believe it's 9 Grammy Awards, is that right?
Yeah, who's counting, you know.
Yeah.
30 albums, I don't know, I haven't counted them all, but we've got a lot of albums.
Absolutely, and, you know, the last two that you did as studio albums were both collaborations, which I think, you know, the type of music that you do lends itself to bringing somebody else in and having somebody else work with you. Of course, in 2010, there was It's a Good Day.
With Leon Rouse.
Yeah. Absolutely. Who a lot of our readers probably won't know, but he is an old school Western swing guy.
Well, he was actually a youngster in the Bob Wills band, because he didn't play with Bob Wills till 1956 or
right.
so. But he's 83 years old, or 84, and one of the last great singers of that style.
Right.
Yeah, and before that we did Willie and the Wheel with Willie Nelson. And we'll be doing, as long as I'm able to, we'll be doing a lot more. We love collaborating with people. But again, you know, I'll probably do a solo album or a couple of them. I don't know.
Well, and you just not too long ago came out with your very first solo album.
No, that was a while ago.
Was it now? No, I always get confused with
it. Yeah, it was a wonderful album. I loved making it. It was totally ignored, but it's a really good album. I had an eclectic bunch of people on it. I think that's why. I mean, everybody from Dolly Parton to Stanley Jordan.
Right. Would you like to do more solo stuff and sort of get out of the wheel?
I'll do one. It's mostly time. I haven't got time. I've got plenty. I do a solo show occasionally, and Jason and I do a duo show occasionally. Mm-hmm. And I have enough material for an album, so I just gotta find time. I have a solo one with finger picking, and songwriting. Some of them are folky like, some of them are jazzy like, you know, but. I might do that, a very stripped down album, just me and guitar and maybe a small band.
Okay. So it gives you an opportunity to do something different than the style that you're used to.
Yeah, I write a lot of music, but it's not, just doesn't fit with the show that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that.
And you also produce as well,
Yeah, in fact, I have a new one. Carolyn Wonderland's new album will be coming out at the end of this month. My son and I and Larry Campbell and Mike Nesbitt actually produced one cut, but I did Carolyn's first record. I don't think I'm doing anything else this year.
Well, maybe it'll come up and it'll be a surprise.
Yeah,
it's on your schedule, you just don't know it.
No, I work with some other bands, but I mostly just got it. I don't produce, but Carolyn's record we produced, and I got my son Sam Seifert, and he and I produced. Larry Campbell did four of the cuts up there at Levon Helm's place.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Nesbitt did one cut of Dust My Room for Carolyn's. Fantastic record. And what else I got? That's enough.
Sounds good. Well, everybody will have to check that out for sure. I do want to ask you, since the band has been around for such a long time, and you've always been on the road and making so many records, there obviously have been a lot of changes. But you're the one guy who's sort of the glue that's held it all together, I think, over the years. I think you're certainly now the most recognizable member of the band, and you know, everybody knows your voice and your style and all of that. But what would you say has changed the most over the years, you know, from when you started out in 1969 to, you know, coming through to today?
The proficiency of the band. Band always had great spirit and great players, but the efficiency of the band now is extremely consistent. You got to understand, the drummer Dave's been with me for 26 years. Bass player Dave is 18 years. Jason, he's 34, so he's been with me for 16, 17 years. It's quite a stable bunch, really, core, and the show passes on. It's a lot more stable band. There's less, it's very talented, but all of the Sleep at the Wheel bands have been really fantastic instrumentalist singers, so I certainly wouldn't say one was better than the other.
Okay.
I think it's the most thing I'm proudest of is having worked with some of the best people in the country. Bar none there. I mean, there's 90 of them, Some of them are very high profile players now. Some of them are out of the business. Some of them have passed away, So, but it's been the highest caliber of musicianship of any band. And I think a lot of musicians will tell you that.
Well, I certainly agree. I mean, we always love to hear you guys, and it's great that, you know, pretty much anybody in the bands can, you know, break out with a terrific solo or something.
Oh, yeah, no, there's not a weak link in this band.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, you're so much fun to listen to. And, of course, the style of the music plays into that.
Yeah, there are very few bands that do this, and that's the way we do it. I mean, there's plenty of bands that play Western swing music. But we have our own little way of doing it. It's great.
Gotcha. Well, I do want to ask you, I know that you've got to run and get ready for the show here, but do you have any future projects that you're thinking about coming up?
Yeah, we're working on a documentary film of the band.
Oh, okay.
That's in the works. Whether we get it done this year, you know, we aim for getting it done in December, but it's taking longer. But we've been filming all over, and, you know, of course, I have the archival stuff, so it's going to be a neat film.
Okay. Is it going to cover the whole history of the band?
It certainly will, but it's not just a buy-off. It's kind of like, I'll let you know when I see it.
Okay.
But it will cover the entire history, but it's not just they did this. It's got some interesting point of view.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to that.
Yeah, so that's what we've been working on. That's why we're not doing the CD this year. And, of course, we're finishing up doing the play. We just finished the play. We did two performances. We did Galveston, Texas. We did Ritos, New Mexico. We go up to Oklahoma in October and Dallas. So that takes up a bit of time.
Gotcha.
And we got to film that one of these days, too.
Yeah.
And we got to do a cast album of that, too, so.
I would definitely love to see a film made of the play. I think it would
be really interesting, we're really kind of miffed that the Cleveland Community Theater Group won't have us up here, because they are the oldest community theater group in America up in Cleveland there, you know. Mm-hmm. I know this is Kent, but it's pretty close.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my good buddy Colt McCoy is up. Let you Colt McCoy, and the Browns needed him, and you know,
certainly very true the way they played last year.
And so old Colt's homeboy from down in Texas, and he played in Austin. We know him and his family, you know, and so there, it's an Ohio Texas thing, dude.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, we'll do what we can, see if we can throw him some support for you up there and get the play show to Cleveland.
Well, thanks for playing good music. Appreciate it, y'all, and keep up the good work.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We do have one kind of quirky question just wanted to ask you before we run. You, being on the road so much, spend a lot of time in a tour bus, and this one is certainly beautiful. But a while ago, you put up your old one for sale, and Alan over here really wants to ask you a question about that.
Fabulous.
Now,
which old bus? This is the sixth one.
No, I was just curious. I found it odd. Someone somewhere along the way on the vastness of the internet, I saw an ad for one of your tour buses with something like 800,000 miles on it.
That'd be the brown one. Yeah, that was my. That's a good bus.
It was a very compelling ad. I didn't.
He tried to convince me to buy it for him. Yeah.
What were they asking for it?
Oh God, you know, I don't remember.
It was quite a lot.
It was significantly above my
vehicle. Was
budget,
it more than $40,000?
As I recall, it was dramatically more than $40,000.
Oh, that's crazy.
I think they may have been trying to convince people that you signed the license plate or something.
I did sign. I signed by the thing I said, I was here for a million miles.
Oh, well, then it makes it priceless. Come on.
Yeah, well, it's worth a couple hundred bucks more, but I don't reckon they sold it as a member of Bandit Peace, you know.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. You guys are great ambassadors for Western swing and Americana in general. We appreciate the time.
Right on.
Absolutely.
Good night, computer. And that was Jason Roberts warming up in the background.
Yes, the wonderful fiddle player.
This has been a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, signing off. Remember, No Surf Music is your source for the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more. For original reviews and interviews, visit nosurfmusic.com.